We read in the prophet Isaiah, Yahweh consoles his people. He takes pity on those who are afflicted. For they were saying, the Lord has abandoned us. The Lord has forgotten us. Does a woman forget her baby at the breast? Does she fail to cherish the son of her womb? Yet even if these forget, I will never forget you. You see, I have branded you on the palm of my hands. For the mountains may depart and the hills be shaken, but my love for you will never leave you. My covenant of peace with you will never be shaken. Thus says the Lord, who takes pity on his people. And we read words like these in the prophet Isaiah and so many other places in Scripture. We read about God's constant and faithful love for his people. We read about his fatherly care and concern. And the Lord is constantly calling his people to trust and to surrender to him in loving abandonment, with confidence that he does care and he will never, ever abandon, forsake, or forget his people. And yet so many of us, and I suppose practically all of us, are hurt in some way and carry around the burden of so many disappointments and hurts that we really can't trust or surrender in loving confidence to God's fatherly care the way he would want us to. How do you speak to a person who never had a father about God's fatherly love? How do you speak to a person who never knew a father's real concern because he was a victim of child abuse or an alcoholic parent? And you speak to him of God's tender concern and care, and those words fall on deaf ears because he has no fatherly love. He has no parental concern in his memories. There is an emptiness. There are deep hurts. And basically, I think there are two kinds of hurts. There's the overt kind, the obvious ones, the times when I was betrayed, when I was misunderstood, when I was rejected, lied against, or ridiculed. The very overt, very obvious, these are times that I can remember, memories that really hurt. But there's another kind of hurt. It's less obvious, in the sense that you can't really remember it or put your finger on it. And these are the kinds of hurts that are caused by a lack of love, by an absence or a void. Love and care that should have been there and just wasn't. There are times of disappointments. You know, those times in my life when I really needed somebody and there was nobody there. Or the time when the very person who should have understood just didn't understand. There are times when I felt abandoned, when I felt lonely, when I felt that there just wasn't anybody there. You know, these memories are ones that left not so much a positive hurt as just a hollow ache, an emptiness that needs to be filled. And this can be as obvious as a missing parent or an alcoholic mother who just never gave the parental concern and care and tender affection that was needed. or it could be as subtle as someone I loved dying on me, disappointing me, and all the grief and the anger and the disappointment and the confusion that death caused still with me. Someone cannot suddenly begin to trust when it's been lacking over the years, or when trust has been betrayed, or trust was never really part of my life. And yet God calls us to trust Him. He calls us to surrender to Him in trust. And I don't think He asks us to do what is impossible. If He wants us to, we at least should be able to. And so I think God meets that need with healing love. All of those emptiness, hollow aches can be healed. All that emptiness can be filled. That void can be touched by the fullness of love which is in Christ Jesus. And I can think of many instances where people have been healed by the healing love of the Lord. I can remember a woman who had a great fear of really getting close to people. She had a lot of difficulty in loving. And when we counseled and prayed with her and listened to her story, we heard of how people in her life who got very close to her died. When she was 9, her father died very suddenly. 2 years later, her brother died in an accident. She was drowned. Later in her life, she was engaged, and her fiancé died in an accident. And those accumulated hurts left deep within her a sense that it was dangerous for her to get too close to people. It was dangerous to reach out in love because the people she loved would abandon her. And as much as she wanted and needed someone to love and someone to be there, she was always afraid to get too close. And there was a woman who was healed through healing prayer. And you remember the case of a man who never knew his father's love because his father had an alcohol problem and he was never there. And so that man never really received that manly love that he needed and was very deficient in knowing how to give love and to share love and very insecure in close relationships. And with the time of healing prayer, he too was healed. And something that would be a less obvious case, I can remember a girl who always had a sense, maybe an anxiety, that the people she loved and needed would one day not be there anymore, that they would abandon her, and especially not be there when she needed them. And we went back in her memories, and she recalled so many times as a little girl, very much in love with her parents who were very good to her, and yet at different times of hurt, trauma, she would go home and there would be nobody there. No one was to blame, there was no fault involved, but there was just that emptiness, that disappointment. She recalled coming home from school one day after being hurt by a classmate. And it wasn't really a big hurt, but it hurt her. And she came home crying, expecting to find her mother's loving arms, understanding, waiting to find the mother, hoping to find her mother who would listen and care. And she came home to an empty house because her mother had gone shopping. And she was deeply disappointed. For a little girl like that, small hurts are easily magnified. And many small instances like that put together created for her a deep anxiety that somehow that kind of thing would continue and the people that she needed would not be there when she needed them. And she too was healed. Now, in these kinds of cases, in cases like them, I see that there are two things that are needed. One is healing prayer. Healing prayer that is very time-consuming. It's a process. It's not simply a prayer that's said and then simply answered overnight, but rather a process whereby a person goes back over the years and the healing love of the Lord touches each moment of emptiness and fills each void and allows the healing, loving touch of the Lord to enter into every void. And as that person's inner self and little child within is bathed in the love of God and the security of God and the warmth of His presence, first there has to be a forgiveness for the person who wasn't there. Obviously, in such a case as the man's alcoholic father, that he has to forgive his father for being so imperfect. He has to forgive his father for having that problem. And then, such subtle things that perhaps one that many people would not understand is that young girl had to go back in her memory and forgive her father for dying, had to forgive God for taking him, because that little girl in all her confusion and grief had deep within her mixed emotions, fears, anger, even resentment, because her father had died. And so that had to be healed by forgiveness. And then prayer that allows the healing love of Jesus to go back and to fill those times. It's a prayer that we can say for ourselves, or a prayer that we say for another with affirming touch and gentle voice. And we ask the Lord to go back and to fill all the gaps. Lord, with your love, fill in all the places where love was needed and love wasn't there. Lord Jesus, make up by your loving presence any deficiency or lack in love. Lord, by your love and your loving spirit, make up the difference between the love that was needed and the love that was received. Lord, allow the spirit of your love to flow deeply within the spirit of this person, and to fill in all the gaps and empty places, and bring healing, bring security, bring love. And that prayer repeated in different times, different memories, different moments, being touched one at a time. It's a very beautiful prayer. One that parents should say for their own children as they realize their own deficiencies, their own failures in parenthood. Because after all, none of us are perfect, and there is probably impossible to be the perfect parent. And there are hurts, real or imagined, that we pass on to our children. And so a parent can very simply pray for her child, his child, while their child is sleeping. Lord, fill in the gaps. Fill in all the empty places with your love, between the love he needed and the love he received. But then beyond healing prayer, for a person who never really was affirmed in love, or has these deficiencies, lacks, voids, and has moments and times and memories of abandonment and disappointment, there is a need, very simply, to be secure in love now. Society today can be very unkind to its people, and people who need love so much, people who need to feel secure in love, and we all do, generally don't find that love in society at large. We are not really nurtured, affirmed, or cared for by our society. But a Christian whose life is rooted in the gospel should be able to expect to live in a situation where there is a framework of loving, supporting relationships called a community. A Christian who has rooted his life in the Lord Jesus should be able to expect to live his life in union and communion and unity with other Christians who have their lives rooted in that same Lord Jesus. We call that a community. It's a network of relationships. It's a framework of love. And community, I think it's important to emphasize, is not necessarily an organization. It's not a structure. It's not a place. In our own thinking in this country, we tend to equate community with religious life. If you need community, you have to become a nun, a priest, a brother, a monk. And that simply is not true. We should be able to find loving support, encouragement, and even loving correction from Christian brothers and sisters. If I stumble, I should be able to expect that I will be caught. If I fall, that someone will pick me up. If I try, that I will be encouraged to continue. And if I need it, that I can find understanding. We need affirmation. We all need to be affirmed, to be supported, to be loved, and to be secure in that love. And I think ultimately the sign that a community is present is that I feel so secure in love that I don't need a wall, I don't need a facade, I don't need to role play, but I can simply be myself. With my good points, with my weaknesses, with my failures, and with my hurts, I don't need to put up a facade and to try to be something I am not. The United States and the church in this country is sadly lacking in models for these kinds of communities. The model in our church has been much more the rugged individualism of the Wild West than it has been the community of the gospel. There should be a place where I can find support and understanding. If the gospel really means what it says, that we should love one another and that we are all part of a body, and people whose lives are rooted in the gospel should find within themselves a need for some kind of a community. Otherwise, the gospel stands as just another individual structure in my own isolated relationship to God. But the truth is that we are all part of one another. We all need one another. We are empty without the rest of the community. Maybe our great obstacle in thinking about community is not that we can't give love, but that it's so difficult to receive love. Receiving love is too often seen as a sign of weakness. But in fact, receiving love and the ability to receive love is ultimately true freedom. There should be communities and networks of communities throughout the whole structure of the church. As community grows, healing will grow. It's so hurtful to pray for people and then have to send them back into the same environment where they get bruised again and again. And yet the Lord speaks and tells us that by this will all men know that we are his disciples, that we have love for one another. And so we pray, I think, first for the redemption of our society, for the healing of our environment, so unloving, where people are so easily bruised, so easily hurt, so easily used, manipulated, controlled. We pray that the Lord would raise up within our world communities of loving support, communities where we can be affirmed as human beings and challenged to become the whole human person that God created us to be. But for now, for each of us, we pray that the Lord Jesus, by his presence and by the Spirit of his love, would fill all the gaps between the love that we needed and the love that we received, and that by his present love to us and the fullness of his love within us, that he would fill all the gaps and empty places between the love we need each day and the love we actually receive. And that by his presence, love, and tender concern and care, we will know healing. Healing of all the empty hurts and hollow aches, of all the empty places, that we be brought to the fullness of his love.